from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is a Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Dan Brown, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 209 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And I need to thank Rocky because it has been a miserable 2 weeks, just held against my will in this terrible evil cult that he thankfully rescued me from. And I am here. I am back, hopefully for forever in a row, or until my wife says that I can't do something on a Tuesday night and then I'm missing the show anyway. Sorry, guys, because, you know, she wins. But
we missed you, and I'm happy we got you away from those evil clutches of the
yes,
cult.
Seriously. Next time someone drives up in a van with no windows and says, hey, you want some football cards, you just be like, no, thank you. Actually, you know what? Step out of the van, give me the cards, and then go back in the van.
Stranger danger.
Just don't follow them in. Still get the stuff, though. Stuff is good. No, I'm leaving. I was about to say, no, this is what I was really doing. No, that's what really happened. That's true story, guys. Hashtag facts. No. But it is draft week, baby. It's draft 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
48 hours from now will be mid-draft.
You're close to my age, Dan. You don't look close to my age at all. Did you watch the cartoon Doug?
Oh, yeah. Doug Funny, man.
There's an episode where they're about to graduate school, and their graduation is in 2 days. And every time someone says the phrase 2 days, a bunch of people just go, 2 days. So every time I hear the phrase 2 days, I just go, 2 days. 2 days, and everyone looks at me like I'm an idiot. So hopefully someone's just like, I remember that, and I feel like less of an idiot because there's like one person out there with me.
Unfortunately, I don't remember that. You know, I can hum along for the intro song you want, maybe name a couple of the characters. Big Skeeter fan right here.
Cool, man. Oh, right. Wow. That's what we're going to blame the cult for, that little tangent. So, yes, draft week, but who cares? Dan's here. We're going to talk to Dan first. Before we do get started, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Dan Brown. You can find me on Twitter at DanBrownNFL, co-creator of the Sons of Dynasty. You can find that at Dynasty Sons there on Twitter as well. Just recently finally launched our YouTube page. So we are officially streaming live from YouTube at this point, and did this all this past season as well. So it's been something we've been working on trying to grow and move into that avenue of this space a little bit more, as well as continuing to put out the podcast there.
Cool, man. We always say we're going to do that, and then we never do, except we are doing the first night of the draft. We are doing live DAP Network style first night of the draft. Hopefully I stay awake. Like you made the joke, you can stay awake for the draft. Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
And Bobby and John Hogue coming on that too.
Oh, I haven't talked to them forever. I greatly look forward to that. But again, it's about Dan right now. Dan, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've probably been doing fantasy football. Really got into it maybe about 12, 13, 14 years ago, even right around the time I was just getting out of high school. So, you know, mid 2000s, somewhere right in there, and just kind of playing redraft mostly with some friends, the occasional work league here and there. You know, if I had two leagues in a season, I was doing big that year. And then it just escalated from there. You know, it was really about maybe 7 years ago at this point that I really took the deep dive into Dynasty and started just, you know, cramming as much content as I could in and just trying to find, you know, the next closest edge I could on my office league and my home leagues that I had been doing well in. You know, over the years, I felt like I was one of the more invested individuals in this. You know, I felt in tune with it, and I was excited to set these waiver claims. And, you know, so much so that, you know, how it goes when you first get into Dynasty and that startup season is in the air and that itch is on your back. Lo and behold, you know, I think I got up to, you know, 25 to 30 Dynasty leagues, essentially. And I've been trying, obviously not taking on any newbies at this point, and finding some good managers for some other ones. Usually, because I did a bunch of free ones off the rip as I was learning. And then, you know, I found that those ones were less important to me than the ones that I was invested into, that not only me, but other people in the league were also invested in. So, and it really almost requires that to have a quality foundation of a league. As much as the free leagues are fun, at the end of the day, free leagues are what they are, and people don't mind trading all their future capital away and you know, disappearing over the course of one off season. And that can be, you know, heartbreaking trying to find managers to fill these teams that obviously didn't, you know, prepare themselves for an orphan, somebody to adopt and what have you. So, you know, it's just trying to find that balance now at this point, creating so much content. It's hard to manage, you know, 15, 20 dynasty leagues, you know, and manage them is one thing. And that's making some moves, some waiver claims here and there, some trades, but, you know, come week one when it's time to get rosters set. And now we're talking about, you know, COVID variants and all these other things that make what was, you could, you used to be able to set it on a Saturday afternoon. You could set your lineup if you wanted. That's not the case anymore. I mean, you have to be ready to make that change sometimes less than an hour before these games are kicking off and these guys are locked in. I mean, it's been a different beast the last couple of years, and that can tax on you after a while. So just trying to find, you know, a good balance between doing the thing I love and then creating content for the thing I love as well.
Damn straight, man. Like, yeah, it's really funny. Like, you don't find many stories of I got into Dynasty. Yeah, I took on two leagues.
And I was going to make the same point. Is like, especially anybody who's, you know, into this enough to start creating content. I don't think there's anybody I've ever heard who hasn't, like, gotten up to, like, at least 20 leagues and then decided I need to cut back. And, you know, it's like everyone's story is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you've been playing Dynasty actually for a very long time. So I know you have to have some good and some bad trades to just either let us cheer for you about or make you feel better that it wasn't as bad as you thought, or just to say, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, man, I tend to make trades pretty regularly in most of my leagues. I'm never afraid to take a gamble. Sometimes if I just want to get a deal done, you know, just to feel alive, I'll take the losing end of a trade, you know, just to get some juices flowing. And sometimes that'll motivate me to get more deals done. So, you know, every trade you lose isn't always a lost trade in the end. There, just because one door is closing, there's several doors that could be opening right on the other side. But I did bring a couple of trades here with me. One that I got recently, kind of a little bit of a bigger trade, if you will. I mean, I thought it was a good one anyway. It's a 12-team super flex league, and I have a lot of pieces. Basically, I'm struggling, just to put a little bit of context in this league. I'm pretty filled out with my depth, with my starters that are there as well, and I have a decent amount of capital. And I'm heading into this rookie draft, and I'm basically overflowing with pieces. So I know you've had some rosters where you get to that point where you're either going to have to cut bait with some of these guys that maybe you've been holding on to too long at this point, or where whatever it may be. But ultimately, I'm getting down to that point where I'm going to have to cut guys that I don't want to cut. So I'm trying to send some capital, maybe push this year's capital, you know, to next year's capital where I can, and that buys me a little bit more time to deal with my overflow of assets. But this was a trade where I felt like I could really kind of take advantage of that. So as you can see, I shipped off our guy Saquon Barkley. As much as I love him, I will sell a running back at the drop of a hat. I don't really care, you know. I'm team wide receiver all day. And Barkley, I love him as a prospect. I love what he's shown from an NFL perspective as well. But through health concerns and the organization that he currently is there with, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see the best of Saquon Barkley ever again. So I don't mind getting out from underneath him, moving on into a guy who I do like in DeAndre Swift. You know, obviously, I value Swift ahead of Barkley at this point, given the age and just the recent production that we've seen even this past year. So I'm a big Swift guy, obviously, being out of Georgia. Swift has a special place here in my heart. But move the 103, the 108, and a 23 first for Swift and Higgins. Me and this guy went back a few times on this one, just back and forth. This guy a great friend of mine. We've been in leagues for a few years, but we typically go back and forth. Sometimes these negotiations will last a month. I think this one was about a 5-week negotiation of us going back and forth. And sometimes it would sit idle for a week and a half, and then one of us would start to kind of be like, all right, well, let's go back to where we were. And that's what it takes sometimes. You know, you got to be patient. Now, not every decline trade is somebody giving you the middle finger. You know, sometimes you just got to let them sit with it, be firm with an offer. And sometimes after that resonates with them a little bit. And, you know, we're getting into that time of year. You're throwing somebody a 108, a 103, and a 23 first, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's just that time of year. The rookie hype is starting to build. People see these picks, they're drooling over them. A great time. I mean, Swift, Higgins, both guys that I love on any given dynasty roster. So to be able to secure them, like I mentioned, get rid of a little bit of my excessive capital, get out from underneath Barkley, who I feel like at this point has question marks and potentially an uphill battle for us to really get that production that we want from him from a dynasty standpoint.
Man, I'm never going to be sad when someone says, hey, I went and traded for T. Higgins. So, you know.
Yeah. And you didn't even mention you did get a 23 second in there, too. So that's just a downgrade from the first, not even just to the flat out giving away the first.
Yeah. And that was part of one of the things that was hanging up. He didn't really want to send that, but I was able to send 2/3, that 303 and the 312. Again, I have a bunch of capital in this league that I need to get rid of. So, you know, me pushing two-thirds for a second next year, that's a move that I will make when I have this much of a capital built up that I need to make a move here before it's too late. Here in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have to make some tough decisions, and that's potentially forcing my hand. And if you wait until rookie draft, you know, the guys in your league, they smell the blood in the water a little bit more when all of a sudden you drop somebody that they're like, oh, wow, you know, not many people are dropping him to the waiver wire. What's going on? Boom. Then it's the next one. Then it's the next one. And so it's just trying to make those moves and cut back on that capital before it's too late.
All right. So I scroll down. I see this giant picture of Mark Andrews' face on the show sheet. And it looks like it says Mark Andrews for T. Smith. And this is in 2019.
This was
racking my brain to figure out which T. Smith this is. And the only thing coming to my mind is Torrey Smith.
That's what I thought of.
But it's not.
It is actually Traquan.
Even worse.
And this was
he existed.
This, right. And this was then, this is when he was starting to get some real hype kind of coming in, you know, yeah, as that peer two behind MT. MT, I believe, was even dealing with MT issues that MT is normally dealing with, kind of causing the Traquan hype to reel a little bit more. And this was Mark Andrews before he truly had his breakout season there. So it was just kind of a, at the time, felt like a pretty good deal, and it wasn't 6 months later that I knew it was a smash. And it's just a trade. It is one of the it's a good friend of mine as well, and just one that we talk about often. He knew it was a fish that got away, and you know, we just look at the values now, and at the time, like I said, it wasn't that far off. Yeah, Mark Andrews was. It was just right around that time he was getting all that you know, preseason hype there. A lot of the videos were surfacing on Twitter of, you know, who is this Mark Andrews guy? And he was starting to get talked up, but really hadn't put it all together on the field yet. And he did that year.
Yeah, that was, I don't know if we said, but yeah, this was from May 2019. So I think this was after his rookie year, where he was still a decent prospect, but he was not Mark Andrews that he is now. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those are like the best stories you find. Like before my first actual season of playing Dynasty, I took over an orphan and I had no idea what I was doing. But this is when Dante Moncrief was like the hotness, you know. Yes. Shout out Matt Harmon for just making Moncrief go crazy above T.Y. Hilton at the time, which blasphemy from the beginning. T.Y. till you die, baby. And I, again, no idea what I was doing, ended up sending like Moncrief in a first for Mike Evans, which this was when Mike Evans was like the wide receiver too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I won that championship, baby. And I'm like, took me 6 years to win one again, but I did it. Yeah. Like I love like those after their rookie year wide receivers where it's just like, okay, like we've gotten smarter. It's like, if they do really nothing their rookie year as a wide receiver, maybe we push that back a little bit. Like, you know, it's like Devontae Smith had a pretty good season. We're cool. He dropped a little bit. Diami Brown, I was huge into Diami coming in. Nope, that's cool.
Done.
I'll give you a third for him. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like,
Des Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you're not getting firsts for those guys anymore. No. You know, it doesn't matter how good a route runners they are. It doesn't matter.
And I had the opposite of the not knowing what I was doing when I first started. When I got into TA3, there I got into it. I took over an orphan in another league. It's actually one I think you're in now, which is the DTC Listener League.
It was one of my first leagues.
And this is after his rookie season, I believe. I traded Christian McCaffrey for, I believe it was Doug Baldwin. Kyle Rudolph, Doug Baldwin just before he started the decline, Kyle Rudolph, who was coming off like a tight end three season, and Tariq Cohen, who I think was coming off an RB1 season or something like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that did not work out so well for
That's
me.
Rough, buddy.
Yeah. All right, Tariq Cohen.
And McCaffrey had a good rookie season, but he wasn't Christian McCaffrey, and I thought I was making out, getting all this stuff, and yeah, that did not work out so well.
All right. Well, I'm glad we ended that on Rocky sadness. But Dan, what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you're offering or evaluating a trade?
I mean, I kind of almost alluded to it earlier when it says that I'm not afraid to lose a trade. You know, player value, it's discrepancies between you know, manager versus manager can be exponential sometimes, as much as we all like to think that, you know, like a Mark Andrews, his value is set in stone. Well, it's not, you know, to each manager, it could be different. You know, where I value Mark Andrews could be, you know, my tight end five, where Russ values Mark Andrews could be his tight end too. And right there's a discrepancy. So if I'm finding these individuals where, you know, they feel like they might be getting a better deal, it's possible for both sides to feel like they're the ones that are getting the better end of the deal. You know, that is a thing just due to player discrepancy values that each of us have. So just being open to leaning into the sides that don't even necessarily feel like you're getting the better end of the value is all I'm going to say, is just being willing to lose. Sometimes you got to lose so you can win.
Speaking of lose so you can win, or speaking of losing, speaking of winning, and I don't even know what to do with this. Melvin Gordon just resigned.
I was going
to
bring that up if you didn't, Russ. Yeah.
I was trying, like, I'm flabbergasted is the wrong word, because I kind of saw this coming from the beginning. But like, didn't it happen right away?
I thought it had gone on so long, I did not think he was coming back.
Yeah, like they waited for this whole time. But yeah, so he's back. So.
It's a little bit of a bummer.
Is good at football. If the person in your league is now lower on Javonte because this happened, trade offer. That's all I'll say.
Yep.
No, that's a lie. This is a trading show. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I just don't think a Javonte owner is gonna be deterred by. Yes, obviously. Melgo leaving was going to be a huge boost. I mean, that's instantly moving Javonte in there to the RB2 range, RB3 here in Dynasty. And now all of a sudden, Melgo's still in the picture for another year. I think people are going to pull off of that RB2, RB3, maybe push him back down there to the 4, 5, 6 range. You know, we could, with Melvin Gordon still being in the picture, you know, that does bring some questions. It was a damn near 50 split. And let's be honest, I mean, Melvin Gordon, he really put together one of the better years that we've seen out of him the past few seasons this past year in Denver. Denver is willing to feed him the rock, obviously willing to bring him back for whatever this undisclosed deal is. I mean, I think we're going to continue to see a mirror image of what we saw this past year. Now, maybe Melvin Gordon won't be able to stay healthy this year. You know, last year he did a fairly decent job of staying healthy and making himself readily available, when that's not something that he's always been known for in years past. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a year older at this point. While he's there, like you mentioned, I think if this puts a damper on anybody's Javonte love hype, and you have an opportunity to buy, definitely go out there and do that, because I don't mind betting against, you know, these older guys, you know, father time. And yes, we saw him do it this past year, but he's a year older. I think Javonte could still even maybe be looking at like a 60-40. You know, if they want to have Melvin Gordon here for the end of the year in these new long games, they're not going to be able to just sit here and hand him the rock from week one on. I think they're going to have to continue to let young Javonte really kind of carry a bulk of the load. And if he can give us a little bit of that, you know, elite game-breaking upside and take a few of them to the house on any given week, that's all we can ask for.
See, I love that. I want to start calling him young Javonte, just to push the further push the idea that Melvin Gordon's old. It's fine, because he's young Javonte. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no old Javonte, so it's not really why, but he's young Javonte.
I like it. I was going to say the same thing, too. I think even with Melvin coming back, you're going to see, I don't think you're going to see that exact 50-50 split that you saw last year. I think they're going to give Javonte more of the work. I mean, it's definitely not ideal. It's going to be 60-40, whereas if it was somebody other than Melvin, if it was like a fifth round rookie or something, you're probably talking like 70-30, 75-25, something like that. But even if it was 50-50, you're also talking 50-50 in a much, much better offense with Russell Wilson at the helm. So I'm not worried for Javonte at all. This obviously caps his upside a little bit. But who knows, even if Melvin, you know, he is 29, like we said, who knows if he even stays healthy for the whole year. years. So I guess you could say that about any running back, though. But yeah, I mean, I still think you're looking probably high-end running back two for Javonte, because I do think he will take more of the work than a 50-50 split this year.
Okay, so I have April ADP up because it is somehow still April. It feels like April's been going on forever. Jonathan Taylor's still at one. Two is Najee Harris. Javonte's three. So let's go down a few to see if you think you dropped Javonte below these people. DeAndre Swift? Well, Dan, you could just say yes. It's fine.
Okay. Thanks for us. Appreciate the out.
Probably, yeah.
I still don't think I do. Christian McCaffrey?
No. Not in value.
No, definitely not. No.
Austin Eckler?
Nope.
No.
Breece Hall? Right now.
It's tough call.
Yeah,
it's tough
right call. Now?
No.
There's not that many good landing spots anyway.
For yeah.
Breece Hall might be in a very similar situation to Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say no. So,
the most we're doing is dropping Javonte one or two spots, which, if you ask me, doesn't change price whatsoever because
right.
It's the same tier. It is, you know, most people from for a very long time being like 2-3 months, had DeAndre Swift at three and Javonte at four. I think last month that was the order. So I don't think this changes anything. So if it does change anything for anyone in your league who has him, go get Javonte.
Yes.
Because he's very good at football. He is 21.9 years old, because gotta love DLF for giving us those percent, those points, the decimals. And yeah, go do that. Go do that.
And again, I don't think you can underestimate how much of a difference having a huge upgrade at quarterback is going to make just in terms of the whole offense and how they're going to produce.
Yes, let's go. Okay, so I need to further my appreciation for Rocky. Besides the fact that he saved me from these past 2 weeks, we haven't had something in the main event section for like a year. Like, we really haven't, like, we've had enough trades and listener questions that we've never really bothered because we knew our shows are going for an hour and 40 anyway. But he put something in here this week. And why do I show my appreciation? Why do I know that Rocky knows me? Why do I know that Rocky cares about me? Because he posts a little paragraph, he posts a link, and then underneath he says, if you don't feel like reading, I'll go over it on the show. You know me so well, Rocky, because I did not read that, and I did not click that link.
I figured as much, Russ.
The main event is yours, Rocky. Go.
Okay, so what this came from was there was a poll on Twitter about who's the 101 in Superflex. Is it Breece or is it Malik Willis? And this, not to single him out or anything, because he was very right in a lot of the things he said to me, but one of your 17,000 other co-hosts, Izzy Akafas, had tweeted out that this was a mistake by the community. You got to go to the quarterback, which is, you know, a lot of people think that way. And I kind of came back at him, and not because of my whole quarterback thing, because I generally am, you know, despite my not liking to pay up for elite quarterback thing, in rookie drafts, I generally am elevating the quarterbacks to the top there usually. But I mentioned, it's kind of started, I mentioned that, you know, especially with this class and iffy prospects and things like that, that I don't know that it's a guarantee that you go with the quarterback. And it kind of got me delving a little bit into a pet theory I've had for a little while, which is that basically we are, and I actually ended up doing the most minimal bit of research, Russ, just looking up some ADP and stuff to back up my point. But it's basically that, like, we are, as a community, are very, very good at evaluating running backs pre-draft. Like, who is going to be good? So what I don't have the thing up here, but basically what it came down to is, Izzy's thing is that, you know, which a lot of people hold this view, and I kind of somewhat hold this view, which is that, you know, the quarterbacks, you have the insulated value. They're going to hold value. Yeah. You get the get out of jail free card, even if they're not that good. And that's true. But also, I'm not sure people realize this, but running backs hold value as well. And you're also probably going to get production from my And like I said, that minimal bit of research I did, I posted this in the tweet, was like I looked at the last 4 years, and it's kind of dependent on class, because and there's some subjectivity to it. You got to determine who are the, you know, elite or high end running backs. And some years there isn't even one. Like I mentioned, in 2019 was the Jacobs year. There really wasn't an elite running back. But if you're looking at the elite guys, the high end guys, top one to three, depending on the class, they're almost always also going to increase in value or hold value. And I listed it out last year. Najee increased, Javonte increased, Etienne lost, but that's due to injury, not play. JT and Swift increase. Even in that 2019 class, Jacobs and Sanders both increased in value. Saquon increase, Chubb increase. Darius Geis did not, but he only lost a little bit of value from year one. This was year one to year two.
It was
what
ACL.
I was looking at. Yeah, he only fell a little bit, and again, that's mostly due to injury. And then there's the 17 class. Fournette held values about the same. CMC, Mixon, and Cook all increased in value. So you're getting value insulation from running backs as well. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Like, I agree, if it's an elite prospect, if you're talking Trevor Lawrence, you know, then you definitely have to go the quarterback. But, and I actually did this for the quarterbacks too. If you look, they are more likely to hold value, or not even more likely, but they will hold value. They're not as likely to increase in value. Now, they're often starting from a higher spot than some of the running backs are. But like Fields is holding value. Lawrence actually dropped, although he was up at a really high spot to begin with. Lance held value. There weren't that many guys that rose. I can't find the tweet where I had the quarterbacks, but it wasn't that many. I know Baker rose in value. Kyler rose in value from year one to year two. Most of the other guys held or fell a little bit. So
yeah, but also Baker, like, it's really funny because you found the, like, one instance of rising in value was a year where the quarterback was not the 101 in rookie drafts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just think it's underrated how much insulation there is in taking running backs, really. If they are, and like I said, I don't think people realize just how good we, like, all these guys that I named, they were the guys that were at 1, 2, or 3 in pre-draft DLF ADP. That's where I got that from. I specified pre-draft because Izzy wanted to point out CEH. Nobody had CEH up at the top pre-draft.
Nope.
And so if you look at that and you just go with those guys, they are just as likely to hold value and more likely to increase in value. And you will get production from, like Izzy pointed out, and I agree with him, you're getting the get out of jail free card because Trevor Lawrence sucked and Justin Fields was not very good and they still holding value. But you got production from a Najee, you get production from the, and even you even get a little bit of that with running backs too. Javonte and Swift did not have great year ones, and they both increased in value. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that. Like, especially in this class, to me it's easily Breece for that reason alone. Like, he's one of these guys that we are as a community judging as a very high-end elite guy and pre-draft. And I think there's no doubt he at least holds value, probably increases in value unless he just goes to somewhere horrible or gets hurt.
Yeah, I actually finished up my pre-NFL draft Superflex rankings today, and I do have Breece at the 101. And it comes down to almost what I alluded to earlier, just – you know, yes, we all want to jump on Malik Willis and the upside that he brings as a fantasy quarterback. But, you know, I have question marks with him. I have question marks with almost all of these quarterbacks. And I don't mind taking a stab on these guys in the early to mid part of the round there in the first round. But, you know, none of them really feel like slam dunks at the 101. Not as good as Breece Hall feels for a slam dunk at the 101. Same thing goes for the wide receivers, too. I like a lot of these wide receivers. But, you know, even all these top five guys, all of them almost seem to come with some question marks.
Yeah, I was just going to say, with the quarterbacks, if they do hit, you're getting a higher ceiling than mostly with the running backs, but it's actually, I think, a safer pick, especially in a class like this where there's nobody who we feel is a sure bet at quarterback. It's a safer bet to go with the running back in general, unless they're super, super elite quarterback prospect.
When, see, it's really funny, like, because just 2 years ago, we on the royal we, because I did not, we're putting two running backs ahead of both quarterbacks, like Jonathan Taylor. Well, depending on who you were between Jonathan Taylor and CEH, they were the 1 and 1 and 2, and then it went Burrow, and most of the times Tua was 4. I had Burrow and Tua 1-2 just because I was big fans of the quarterback themselves. I believed in Burrow, and I still believe in Tua. I've calmed down on what his ceiling will most likely be, which makes me sad, but I still love the guy. So it's very year specific. And like I brought up before, there's absolutely going to be years, especially in years when you have a Zeke, a Saquon, even Baker was really a good prospect coming in. Like we can't revision that history. Like he wasn't, it's like really like Darnold was supposed to be the 1-on-1. And then at the last second they took Baker, but like combination of Baker's attitude, Baker was really accurate in college and then just forgot how to throw the ball when he got into the NFL. I think I guess going to the Browns does that to you. Sorry, Browns fans. But there is absolutely time and a place to take the running back over the quarterback in the rookie drafts. And this is totally one of them. Like this year, I haven't made my decision yet. Thankfully, we had one rookie draft go so far in the Dynasty Awesome Sauce with my homies, which was awesomely named by Casey. Shout out Casey Kasem, you rule. And Breece Hall did go first, by the way. And even in a league where you draft before the NFL draft, where you draft a lot for safety, like you have to add that into your formula for rankings because you don't want to get Hakeem Butler. Sorry, Shane and the Dynasty Trades HQ guys. Just go listen to their podcast around draft time. They'll tell the story. Most of the time I will say quarterback over running back. But when you get to that point where it's a very, very good running back and that slide where you're like, he's a really, really good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's okay. He could be good. All right, man. Now you're just reaching to say that quarterbacks are valuable in super flex leagues. Like we were talking about it. I don't remember where or when, but we are happily past the point where every starting quarterback is worth a first round pick. Like a lot of people's very big problems with super flex in general was even the worst quarterbacks are just worth so much. Yes, that's what you sound like, people. And they were a little right. Like, you know, and I remember the words coming out of my mouth a couple of years ago saying they were starting quarterback, they're worth a first. Like, can you imagine saying Ben Roethlisberger last year was worth a first? Mm-hmm. Like, no. Like, not even this draft, which we are so down on, he is not worth a first. Like, we are past that point. So I'm with you a bit on the where we should also be past the point. He's a quarterback. He needs to go 1-on-1.
Exactly.
He's a quarterback. He should get moved higher. Like, should Malik Willis be the 1-on-2?
I think that's even debatable. Yeah. I mean,
Garrett Wilson lands on the Saints and, you know, Michael Thomas goes somewhere else. Like, the wide receiver guy in me wants to push that to 1-on-1, but Corey Davis and Nikhil Harry taught me.
That's what I was just going to say, though.
I will not do that again.
The other thing that I took from this besides just Willis versus Hall is that you should probably be taking quarterbacks and running backs early, like if they're considered elite prospects before any wide receiver, because Corey Davis was an elite prospect. Nikhil Harry was the wide receiver one. And you should be taking, again, if they are judged by the community, like I said, subjective, but you can kind of tell if you're into this and you're on Dynasty Twitter and you're reading all the articles and things like that, you know who the top end guys are. There's a difference between like Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller, even though Spiller's 3. So Walker's kind of iffy for me in there, but you can, yeah, I don't think so. He's you can maybe down, try to include him, but I don't think so. That's what I think. I think in this class, there's one. In some classes, there's 2 or 3 guys that you can kind of like Taylor and Swift, you know, a couple years ago. So, I just think you really should be leaning quarterback or running back unless even in a rebuild. Because like I said before, I mentioned this, I think, in that thread, I'm not worried that you're not supposed to take running backs in a rebuild. I've had rebuilds where I've taken running backs and then flipped them that year for wide receivers. Yeah. Or whatever, a more typical rebuild type piece. So that was kind of maybe the biggest takeaway for me is we should probably shouldn't be elevating wide receivers to like 102 or
I mean, even Chase,
all things being equal, yeah.
I mean, Chase made it at best to like what 104?
Yeah.
Like, so maybe he jumped the Fields Lance for some people.
Chase is a bit of an outlier, but anyway.
But even still, like he didn't make, he wasn't going to make it to the 101 with it, what everyone thought of Trevor Lawrence. So, but yeah, like still, he wasn't 102 for most people either.
Mm-hmm. I mean, saw him go like 105, 106 in some drafts.
Yeah, like because I'm the wide receiver guy, he was my Lawrence, Fields, Lance, Chase, and I put him over Pitts. Which, ha, I was right.
Not great as that looks now, because Chase is like the wide receiver one for most people, or 1A and 1B with Jefferson. I mean, still process-wise, I think it was probably the right thing to have him down at 5 or 6, just yes, given exactly. what I just said. Yeah.
Process over results. I have a t-shirt that says so, so it has to be right. Okay. We have... like no listener questions, so we're going to do trades first. get better, listeners. Come on, man. We want to know what you're thinking. In Trade Addicts 1, our fellow DAP member, junkie host, Andrew Hall. Wow. I said all the words that were written on the sheet, but I started looking at the sheet, and I'm like, wait, did I say that? And then I just froze. Whew. Yeah, so he did an outhouse challenge only in Trade Addicts 1 because he's a little scaredy cat.
Yeah, one leg is just, yeah, that's a little weak, Andrew. Yeah.
But it worked well for Rocky and not well for me. Throw it out there just in case you don't know. The outhouse challenge is, I did not name it after myself. Other people started calling it that. Just need to put that out there. You tell your league or leagues, whatever, that let them send you a trade. You're going to take that trade, post it on Twitter. As a poll, the side that is being offered to you wins, you accept the trade. That's it. That's all it is. It's so much more than that. Oh,
it's a lot of work if you do it in a bunch of leagues.
First of all, make the polls 4 to 6 hours and just don't do 20 leagues at once. That's,
oh my God. I did like, I think, 8 when I did it or something like that, and it was exhausting.
Oh man, I had over 100 offers. It was I wish I tracked all of it, but I did not. This is the first outhouse challenge of someone I've been in a league with where I didn't even get one through because I was trying a little too hard. I was getting cute with it.
I know, but mostly it's because of
the players I was giving away were like T. Higgins and Jalen Waddle and Deontay Johnson, and I'm like, I don't care what Twitter thinks. I'm not giving them away too easy, and it didn't work. But this guy. You got away with one somehow. I do not agree with at all. And let's talk about this one first.
Okay.
Dan, you're presented with Jimmy Garoppolo and Logan Thomas for Carson Wentz in a 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium 1.75 point per reception with 0.05, no, TA1, no return yardage. Do you take Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo and Logan Thomas?
I mean, I first off, let me say that's pretty ugly. You know, that's a barren wasteland trade right there. But I'm going to lean the Wentz side. Obviously, we know that he's got a job at least that we're pretty sure about heading into this season. I don't know that we can say the same about Jimmy G. I don't really know what's going on there with the 49ers in general. It seems like they're having some roster woes, Debo Samuel potentially wanting out. I think it's Trey Lance's time. I think it's his time to step up. You know, where's Jimmy G going to go? Is there another job? Is he going to end up in Carolina? You know, I'm not sure exactly. Logan Thomas, he's old enough really at this point for me to forget about, between, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones coming in there or even John Bates. Was that who it was that came in there for a couple of weeks? And yep. Washington was willing to force feed targets to, you know, I like Logan Thomas, but he's gotten old there. I think they are going to continue to address the weapons as far as it goes there in Washington as well. So I'm assuming Logan Thomas is going to be an afterthought. I don't know what Jimmy G's future is. Give me the piece that's actually going to be at least have value for this upcoming season. Maybe I can flip it and get into a better looking boat, if you will, for the rest of the offseason next year.
How did Carson Wentz lose this?
It was like 53-47.
Wait, I was busy yelling. What was
sorry,
it?
I was just gonna say, I was just saying it was 53-47. It was pretty close.
It should have been 23-77. Sorry, that took me a second. Like, I don't understand how this was close. This is wrong. Like, Twitter got this so wrong.
See,
usually,
one thing I've noticed from you and I doing this is I did see Jimmy G show up in some of our polls, and it feels like Twitter is treating Jimmy G as if he's going to start next year still.
That's crazy.
And I mean nobody likes him because even as
shoulder surgery, and he hasn't gotten traded yet.
Yeah, but even I mean they're giving him value. I saw it in other polls, and I mean, nobody really likes him, but they're still giving him, it seems to me, they're still giving him low-end starter value. So that's why I thought maybe I could get this through. And again, Carson, I've said it on this pod multiple times, Carson Wentz was good last year. Like, he was actually good from a real – no, he was actually good for a real-life perspective for a lot of the season.
He wasn't bad.
27-7.
He wasn't bad. It doesn't mean he was good. Just because you don't throw interceptions doesn't mean it's good to throw for 18 yards and a touchdown in a game.
That's true, but he had 27 touchdowns, which isn't too bad. But yeah, he started the season horribly, he ended the season horribly, and that's what everybody remembers. But yep. Yeah, like you said, for fantasy especially, he was good. Yeah. He was like a high-end QB2, and he's going to be my QB3 on this team if I don't move him. I think it's like I have Watson. Well, Watson, we'll see how much he plays, but I have Watson and Carr. So, and Wentz could fill in if Watson's suspended. So that, to me, this I loved getting this through.
Yeah, I was shocked. The other trade that, it is only two of them that you got through. Yep. So this was the only two trades that he did, except for, I think it was like Jamison Crowder for the 401. It's just like,
that one might've gone through. Yeah.
I'm not writing that down.
No,
I'm not wasting the finger strength. David Montgomery for the 108. I saw this and I'm like, that's probably fair enough. And it's just going to go through. I think I voted for the 108 just because I was trying to get the 108 also. But I saw that and I'm like, oh, that sucks. He got that first. And my poll lost anyway. So, Dan, what do you think about David Montgomery for the 108?
I actually think that's pretty close. I was staring at that one a little bit earlier, and I don't mind that side. You know, David Montgomery, I'm surprised. His value seems a little bit lower than I thought it would be, just given – you know, what we've seen out of him this past season. You know, we know Cohen is going to continue to not be in the picture. Sure, Khalil Herbert comes in there and is able, but, you know, it was essentially just change of pace back, you know, giving Montgomery a breather when he needed it. It felt like that's Montgomery's backfield. Justin Fields, you know, the lanes that he is capable of opening up and being a mobile quarterback, what that can do at the running back position, you know, i.e., you know, eats into his goal line work, yada, 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 you know, different conversation for a different day. But I do like David Montgomery for this upcoming season. And I don't mind the 108 either, but all in all, I feel like it's a pretty fair trade.
Yeah, this was one I was surprised at the actual results. I believe we didn't write it down, but I believe it was 64-36 in favor of the David Montgomery, which surprised me a little. Andrew had 108 and 109. And I was thinking of trying for 109 first because I was worried I wouldn't get through 108. Like, I was trying to go a little lower, but I decided, let's do the 108. And then it won it easily. For me, Montgomery, yeah, he's good, but I'm worried about that offense. I don't know what Justin Fields is going to be this year.
He's going to be good. That's what he's going to be.
I hope you're right. I actually have a couple Fields shares.
I'm a big Fields guy.
But, I mean, it's basically Mooney and a bunch of guys, and maybe they're going to add a rookie, but they have no first-round pick. So I don't have a ton of faith in that offense. And to me, this is like 108 is like peak Montgomery value. Like, is he going to ever get you the 107 or the 106 going forward? Like, I'm happy to get the 108 for David. And I have a bunch of running backs on this team.
The value between the 106 this year and next year can be very, very different.
Yes, exactly. So, and I just, yeah, I mean, that could be Jamison Williams for me at the 108. That could be, or it could be a quarterback at the 108 that goes the second quarterback after Malik Willis. So I'll take that over David Montgomery.
So, by the way, he's speaking from experience, our Dynasty Awesome Sauce draft, where he took Jamison Williams at the 108, and then Bobby Koch took Kenny Pickett at the 109, and those are the two players he was just talking about. But yeah, like, your 107 was Drake London, Jamison Williams, Kenny Pickett, Chris Olave, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, Isaiah Spiller, Christian Watson. Like, putting David Montgomery against all of those guys will make you think. And that went down, okay, maybe Sam Howell, maybe not. I'm a fan, and I'm hoping he goes at least in the second.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But even still, let's stop at Matt Corral, who is a lot of people's QB2 at the 111. Like, that's a lot, you know. You know, so getting, you know, putting Montgomery in there, I think you got a really good price for him. I think that's, I like it. I like it. I hate it because I wanted that pick. But again, my picks were just, I wish I could remember some of the trades, but it didn't work.
Yeah, and I had no first, and like I said, a bunch of running backs in this thing. I think I have like four or five startable running backs. This was an easy one to throw out there. I'm glad.
Sell them.
Yep.
My TA was so bad that I don't even know what to do with it. But my problem is all the valuable assets I have, I listed them already. T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, and Deontay Johnson. Like, that's it. And I'm like, oh. Well, shit, I don't want to get rid of those guys. No. But, like, I need to be able, because I don't have a first this year. I don't have a first next year. And the guy who has my first knows what I want to do when I asked for my first back. So he's like, T. Higgins for your 23 first. I'm like, I get what you're doing to me, and I don't like it. And yeah. I'm not ready to do it yet. Like, he's smart. He's right. If you have someone's first and they're asking for it back, that means they aim to tank, in which case, get a lot for it, because you're going to be sad when that turns into a very early pick. Cross my fingers, my team been bad enough to get the 101 anyway, but it doesn't. There's no point in tanking if I don't have my first. So I have no idea what to do with that team. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Well, yes, it is. This is my show. We'll talk about it if I dang well want to. Trade Addict 7 is our next league with a trade, and it is a 2023 first for Amon-Ra St. Brown. How do you feel about Amon-Ra?
I like him. You know, I obviously wasn't as high on him as I should have been, you know, but looking back now, obviously hindsight, the opportunity that he stepped into there in Detroit was big. You know, it was just not buying into the quarterback situation. Obviously, they shipped Stafford out, you know, here comes Goff, and nobody's really believing in Goff, you know, and then Hawkinson went down, and they just kept feeding him, and he looked great. You know, I am a believer in St. Brown's talents moving forward. I just don't know that we're going to see the volume that he saw this past season really ever again. Yes, while I know there's still not a ton of weapons, a Chark up there now, but, you know, all in all, he could still very well be the guy. But Hawkinson healthy, potentially coming back. Swift also gonna, you know, demand a little bit of target share. I just don't think the volume's gonna be there. And if anybody's buying St. Brown as a true, you know, alpha wide receiver there in Detroit, if anybody's willing to pay that price, I'm willing to listen right now. I think it's a great time to sell, just given what you probably invested to get him, and based on where he is now and what you can expect to get from him over the next couple of years. He's always going to be a probably a really good slot receiver, but, you know, given the quarterback situation and the franchise in general, I don't mind getting out from under right now and collecting that ROI.
I will say that I 100% agree with what you said, in that if you think Amon-Ra St. Brown is what he was at the end of last year, you're probably going to be disappointed, because he's just, that's clearly within his range of outcomes, because it happened, right? But It's not something really you should expect. And I just threw Amon-Ra St. Brown into the DLF trade analyzer, and the suggested pick is the 201, which is kind of crazy to me. He's between the 201 and the 112. Honestly, I did this because I was bored. I earned the 101 last year. Yes, both years. Oh, that's sad. Yeah, but now I'm at the point where I am going to take Breece Hall at the 101. So I have like Kyler, Trevor Lawrence. No, I lost Trevor Lawrence. I don't remember. Carson Wentz is my second quarterback. That's not a fun story. I'm going to have Breece Hall. I have Terry McLaurin, a couple of other people like that are just like good enough to make it like I'm not getting the 101 again. Like it's just my team might not be good, but it's definitely not that bad. And I had the first of a guy who is 1 year removed from going back-to-back championships. So I'm like, that's fine. It's probably going to be 9, 10, 11, 12. Let me go get a guy who's going to make my team not as bad without having to lose any talent along with it. So I felt fine about this, and it got accepted rather quickly. So apparently so did Nick. So I guess we're both a little happy. Is 23 first a lot for St. Brown? Maybe, apparently. But you're not getting him for a second. I mean, like, are you getting him for 2 seconds? Still probably not. No. If you want to go get Amon-Ra St. Brown for a pick that is not in this year, like, you're stuck sending a first. And it's something a guy updated his trade bait saying, I'm looking for picks and younger players. I'm like, hey, I got a pick. Give me that young player that you put on your trade bait, even though you said you're looking for young players. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm happy with it. It makes me happy. Trades make me happy. So,
I actually bought a St. Brown share, I guess it was a few weeks back, and it was actually just days before the Calvin Ridley news broke as far as the $1,500 bet or whatever, the alluding to his 1 year suspension. But I traded Calvin Ridley, and I believe it was a 208 for St. Brown and a 203. So, and now given the news, when I say this was only a day, maybe two before the most recent Calvin Ridley news came out. Yeah, it was, but so I didn't mind that deal. I'm got a ton of Calvin Ridley shares across all my leagues, and at this point, you know, he's what we consider to be a riskier asset. And when he does come back, he'll be what, 28 years old at that point. You know, so I decided to get out from underneath the share just because. And so I did buy St. Brown for that price, which given the news, I feel great about it this time, but I didn't mind it then either.
Dan is your kind of people, Russ. Tons of Calvin Ridley shares traded for T. Higgins in that earlier trade.
Justin Fields fan, like we.
Yep.
You and me, buddy. Wow. Breathe. I know I'm excited because we're talking about more of my trades, but I need to get my shit together. Come on. Two TA10 trades. Both of them, this guy. Both of them, not very good trades. TA10 is so weird. Again, Trainetics 10 is the league where we drafted it last year. We drafted it last August, but we haven't actually started the league yet. The league starts this coming year. So no one really knows what their team is. It's still weird. Like, we've seen a season go with points for the players we have, but most of us didn't set our lineup, so we don't really know. So it's just like this really weird feeling. And then I got trade happy, so I just kept hitting yes. So the first one is Antonio Gibson for Allen Robinson, Hayden Hurst, and the 206. I sold Antonio Gibson, and I did wrong.
At least you can admit it. At least you acknowledge your mistake, Chris.
Like, yeah. Here's my thing. What's Antonio Gibson really worth? What do we think Antonio Gibson's worth? And then what is Antonio Gibson actually worth?
I compiled
value on the other side. I will absolutely admit that this is nickels for a quarter because I'm not calling Antonio Gibson a dollar. I love me some Allen Robinson. I love me some Allen Robinson on the Rams. I wanted a Hayden Hurst share just in case Joe Burrow's tight end ends up being a thing again. Mm-hmm. And then the 206, just because I used the 206 in Awesome Sauce to get Justin Ross. So just in case, I want that 206 again.
You know, there's a very realistic chance Justin Ross goes like
shut six up.
As much
Rocky, respect your host. I was about to say your elders, but you're actually older than I am.
Yes, I am. I was just saying earlier, I don't mind getting out on Gibson. It's come out that they've had Spiller, Hall, and Kenneth Walker all in for visits. So that terrifies me as a guy who had some Gibson. I moved him last week though for Chris Godwin. I'd rather have Chris Godwin than that package. Yeah. So I just think you did not get quite enough, but I know you love A-Rob, so maybe that's enough for you. Any thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I originally was leaning the Gibson side, and I think I still am. I have also heard the rumors that they are looking to bring in somebody else. It was fun while it lasted for the 24 hours that J.D. McKissic wasn't going to be back in Washington. But, you know, there he is and potentially bringing in another body. You know, you can't feel good about Gibson. I had him even in a couple of redraft leagues this past year, and it got to a point where no given week did I feel good about really having Gibson in my lineup, and I'm kind of afraid that's what his course is going to kind of continue to be. So, you know, again, running backs, I'm always in the open to getting out from under. That 206, you know, could be a Zamir White, Brian Robinson, a Sky Moore, you know, any one of those guys has the potential to be valued ahead of Antonio Gibson 1 year from now, you know, pretty heavily. So I don't mind that, Russ. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's a bad trade. That 206 alone could end up really paving the way to overpower Antonio Gibson. Allen Robinson really coming in as that clear wide receiver too, I believe. And I mean, my man got a quarterback, Russ. My man got a quarterback. You know, I mean, I think double-digit touchdowns are definitely in a possibility, 1,000 yards. I mean, the resurgence of A-Rob is what we all need. And I mean, Russ, this trade might be the final piece that pushes him over. I'm telling you right here.
I love everything you just said. Except Sky Moore in the draft, we did win at the 203. I would have taken him at the 206 if he were still there. And then the second he was drafted, I kept sending offers to the person that took him, and she just either rejected right away or ignored it. Jerk. So the last trade we have, like I said, also me, is Dalton Schultz, the 209 and 306 for Darren Waller. I honestly don't know why I accepted this in the end. Like, I updated my trade baits right away. Hey, what can we do to get Darren Waller on my team? And I'm like, send an offer? And I was like, no, I have an idea what I want. My original ask was Schultz and the 201. And I knew that was a little bit of a stretch, just because I think a lot of people, especially this guy who happened to be a Dalton Schultz fan, like, we know Dalton Schultz is that next step down. Like, he's not the top five or six guys, but like, he's in that next three-ish players where you feel safe putting him in every week. And that's enough for a lot of people. And that's honestly why I was cool downgrading from Waller, who, especially with the, we didn't talk about it before, but the rumors of a trade to Green Bay, like, that's, I'm done chasing Green Bay tight ends at this point, but like, it's still something that people chase and people think is a great thing, especially with Adams not there. Waller could be the same thing he just was in. I can't believe I almost said Oakland. Like, how long has it been in Vegas? So, and honestly, I just ended up accepting the trade because, like, he was trying so hard. And I'm just like, I don't care enough to make this keep going. I'll just take it. That's fine. And like we said before, like, that mid-second area, like, it turns out there's a lot of guys I really like in that area. So I was fine. Mm-hmm. So I just did it.
Yeah, I like the move. Like you, I don't think that really at this point that there's much of a drop off between Waller and Schultz. I'm excited about this Cowboys offense coming in now with Cooper out of the equation. It felt a little crowded this past year. I know James Washington is there, but Gallup coming back. I just feel like it got concentrated down a little bit more. The passing game did with the departure of Cooper. And I think Dalton Schultz, I mean, obviously Jarwin is no longer in the picture. You know, two relevant tight ends, it equals no relevant tight ends. So glad to get him out of there just because that was the conversation at the beginning of last year. You know, Jarwin Schultz. Well, they found Schultz the end of the previous year and they stuck with him. Schultz just was the better tight end this past year. Jarwin might be a really great raw athletic guy, but you know, Schultz was putting it together, and him and Dak seem to have chemistry together. I like Dalton Schultz a lot this upcoming season. He's going to be a later round tight end that I'll be targeting in redraft or eliminator leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I lean the Waller side a little bit here. We talked a little bit about this in the Cool Kids Club. I mean, last year was probably Dalton Schultz's ceiling. He could probably approach that this year, especially if they don't draft a receiver high like they're being rumored. But I still think Waller's a step above. And so it's basically, I mean, you're adding the 209 and 306, which don't do a ton for me to downgrade. I would have loved it if you got the 201, but apparently that wasn't happening. So
that was not. I tried many different. Let's see. I ended up trying the Waller and the 206 for Schultz, the 201 and the 209. And I'm like, he's going to take this. This me giving that 206 that's in between his two picks, that's gold, man. He's definitely – oh, he rejected that. Crap.
But, like, yeah, I mean, I think we're all, as a community, underrating Waller a little bit because of last year. I mean, he was hurt a lot of the year. I do, and if he does go to Green Bay, he's going to be a ridiculous target hog, given what they have there with an elite quarterback.
What if he doesn't?
What if he stays right where he is right now?
Stays
where he is, the offense is going to be much better, and I still think he's second to Adams, and he's not going to get 140 targets, but he might be more efficient on his targets. I still think he probably, if healthy, has a better year than Schultz. You are getting years back by getting Schultz, though. But like I said, I would want a little more than a late second or third.
It's just, you know, I mean, you got Renfro there who's, you know, one of Carr's golden boys as well. I mean, I'm not trying to bring up the lot of mouths to feed argument, but at the end of the day, you know, Adams is going to demand some targets. Renfro is going to get some targets just based off of that chemistry. And Waller has it as well, but there's a lot of chefs in that kitchen for me to really feel like maybe Waller's, you know, is going to get any type of increase in production. I feel like he's also getting to that age. Davante Adams just feels like they're going to feed him. And while Waller, maybe the efficiency will come up, a little bit of the volume may come down. I'm not really buying into Darren Waller really moving forward at all. I think this past year, or really even the year before that, was the time to get out from underneath him. But that's just me.
And I hear that. I just think, too, though, with Schultz, I think we could, especially if they draft like George Pickens or somebody, one of these guys that we all like, I think in a year or two, Dalton Schultz could be just one of those, not even that next tier, like that we put below the top five. He could be a guy. Then if they have two very good wide receivers and Gallup, that Dalton Schultz is not what he was last year. And he's a guy that we're just like, he's one of those tight ends that, you know, you hope he scores a touchdown.
I know it's a lazy comp because he's on the Cowboys, but like, he feels like Jason Witten to me. Like, he's going to get his 8 to 12 targets. He's going to be okay with them. And he's one of the better red zone threats on that team. So in a tight end premium league, if you can say he's going to get like 8 targets a game, 4 to 6 catches, that's pretty great. You know, again, in a league where tight ends kind of sucks, you know, I would be greatly happy to depend on that, though that's a terrible sentence, but it came out, so I'm going to stick with it. But we're going to move on because we do have two listener questions. And one of them is an actual question. At Grief Supreme, I don't know if that is a great or a sad name, maybe both. So at Grief Supreme says, I'm going zero RB in a Superflex tight end premium startup that's been going on for almost 72 hours. What are some of the late round running backs that I could plug and play? Team so far, Pitts, Lamb, Metcalf, Judy, and Rogers. That's a good start. Okay, so we are, that means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're in like round 6 by now. Like, this is honestly where I start drafting running backs anyway. It like, well, like 2 years, if it was me 2 years ago, this is when I start drafting running backs anyway. So who, what are some, just start spitting out names, you guys, running backs that are a little lower than that area that you think would be a great idea for him to start looking out for. Dude, Zeke Elliott is RB 24. Yeah, 24.
Yeah, I was going to say James Conner springs
to mind. James Conner, 25. AJ Dillon, 26. I mean, let's go even lower. Let's go. If your draft is going on this long, push it for another 2 days and see if Buffalo drafts a running back. And if they don't,
mention him,
go grab Devin Singletary. I mean, if you want to be that guy and take a shot on Rashad Penny, more power to you. I'm not that guy. Hey, go get Melvin Gordon, right?
That's what I was just thinking. Maybe Melgo, now that he's back with
he's super cheap right now.
Now that he's back with the Broncos.
Like, if you want to go like zero RB, go get like Chuba Hubbard and Nyheim Hines. Like, it's coach speak at this point, but the Colts are saying they want to get him more involved. They wanted to get him more involved, so they're going to try. And then McCaffrey is either
Deontay there's three Foreman. Outcomes.
And what do you tell me what the most likely is? McCaffrey is just going to be Christian McCaffrey again and no problem whatsoever. They're going to just restrict him a little bit, like 80% as opposed to 99% touch rate, or he gets hurt again. Like, what? Like, give me an order of those. If you ask me, him going right back to being CMC is the bottom.
Yes.
In which case, like, give me Chuba on like 10%. Every team.
Except it should be Foreman over Chuba.
No.
Yes.
No.
Chuba's not good.
Yes, he was really good when he had the ball last year.
He had one or two good games.
He had like 3 to 5 good games. I'm making it up. I don't remember what he had. But I thought he looked good in things, in football.
In the football.
Do you have any names to throw out there, Dan? Or did we just say every name while you were writing something?
No, what about like a Jeff Wilson type guy? You know, I could maybe get on some Jeff Wilson. I feel like that depth chart's opened up a little bit at this point. While, yes, Elijah Mitchell it appears to have a stronghold over that backfield. I mean, you know, he's got the draft capital that they invested in him, obviously. I mean, draft capital, I don't know that even means anything as far as Shanahan and the 49ers go. You know, but Jeff Wilson, he's performed rather well when given opportunity. Yes, battled some injuries, but he's a guy. I mean, I think he's going outside the top 50 or 60 running backs right now, and very well could come in and get some pretty significant work as early as week one behind Elijah Mitchell, who we also saw battle a couple of injuries. So he's a deeper dart guy that I don't mind taking a look at if you get way down there.
Elijah Mitchell just had knee cleanup surgery. I mean, that doesn't mean anything for the start of the season or anything, but it's just, again, it's something that happened to that man's knee. Two names real quick. One, because I feel Zach Reed screaming in my ear saying RB1 JD McKissick, because he will take any opportunity to talk about winning a league with his RB1 being JD McKissick. And, oh, man, I completely just lost. Marlon Mack is in Houston. Oh,
yes, that is a good one. Yeah, if they don't draft a guy early.
Marlon Mack could be that guy. And like, we're talking, hold on, I lost his ADP. Running back 54 at 171. Like, zero risk, you know, at that point.
Also, real quick, Chuba had 2 games over 61 yards all year and only 2 games over 3 catches all year. So just saying.
He was great. The last question we have is at Beach Ken Sandra 2. Once you build your team, how do you keep yourself from trading just to trade and screwing it all up? I'm asking this question too late because I already did that. If anyone out there has the answer to this question, please let us know. Yes. Because I don't have that answer.
I don't really either. I don't do it as much as Russ, but I will definitely trade just to trade. Or like last week, I will trade just for content. So
23 first for St. Brown.
Yeah.
Schultz and Waller deal was really like, we said we're low on trades.
Yeah, we were low last week. Neither of us was on. I was like, I can't do this to the guys. I threw out like 50 offers, it seemed like, and got like six of them accepted. So
do as we
say, not as we do.
Yeah. Have your spouse, significant other, best friend, change your MFL password. How about that? If you can't touch it, you can't screw it up. That's my only answer.
Do you have any better answer, Dan?
I mean, as long as you're buying the lows and you're selling the highs, you know, then trading, you know, you really shouldn't mess it up all that badly. I think just taking a step back and being able to assess value, especially when it's been inflated for whatever reason, you know, a playoff run, maybe Gabriel Davis catches four touchdowns in a playoff game and the entire nation was watching, you know, maybe things like that allow you to open up a door where now we see an influx of value that it almost feels a little bit unjustified. Well, being able to capitalize on those, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, a guy that we mentioned earlier on in the show, is a prime example. James Robinson, Elijah Mitchell, all these guys that you really didn't have to invest at nearly what you can get for them at this time. I mean, those are just easy guys to sell. You know, none of them are going to make or break my championship squad. I'm all about just getting a good return on my investment. So that's typically when I have running backs. Sell running backs all the time and buy good wide receivers, good young wide receivers. I mean, that's the recipe for dynasty, to really not find yourself pigeonholed is these running backs. Be willing to sell them even if it puts you in a jam in the position, because that's a easy hole to fill when the time is right, you know. So invest in young wide receivers, and that way you're not caught off guard and upside down just because Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott were top five running backs 3 years ago.
I think we might be best friends at this point. Like, yeah, just everything you say is just like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal from JD at Goat to the Goat District Show. He always says ABT, always be trading, but I'm going to add ABT RBs.
Yes.
Always be trading running backs.
Always.
I'll give you that TM, that C with the circle, JD. I just wanted to say it out loud. But that is the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Thanks, Dan, for coming on. Hope you had some fun. Let everyone know before we do head out here what you do, who you are, what you do, where you go. Man, I am really just...
rusty.
Why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at Dan Brown NFL, and also there at the Sons of Dynasty page. That's at Dynasty Sons. And be sure to check us out on YouTube, the Sons of Dynasty YouTube page. I've been putting out a lot of content. We're going to be doing some rookie mocks coming up, and as well as diving back into the DFS world again this upcoming season. So looking forward to that and continuing to push out as much Dynasty content as we can during the off season and rolling on into the redraft season. So, you know, Scott Fishbowl invites are starting to surface around the timeline I've seen. So it's that time of year. While the off season felt short, you know, NFL draft, Scott Fishbowl, you know, it's all in the air at this point. So I'm excited, man. I appreciate you guys having me on here tonight, and I hope I get the chance to come back again sometime.
Hey, man, we're like best friends. You tell me when you're on, man. But our stuff. What is our stuff? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us as we record. We had Justin in here telling me that my Amon-Ra St. Brown trade was bad. I know, Justin, leave me alone. He is just so easy to tell me that I do bad things. And it hurts my feelings, Justin. And I want you to care that it hurts my feelings. Also, you can be part of the Cool Kids Club, our awesome chat on GroupMe, where you could have other opportunities to tell me that my trades are bad, because I ask a lot of times. And actually, I can't ask in the Cool Kids Club most of the time, because most of the people in there are in my leagues, and I, yeah, that's rough. But still an awesome, awesome time. So many awesome people in there. Also, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. You can get t-shirts. I'm wearing my hoodie. Well, I was wearing my hoodie. It got warm. Stickers, mugs from all of your favorite DAP Network shows and a bunch of other people who are just way too lazy to make their own stuff. I'm about to make another Dynasty Vipers t-shirt because Matt's like the biggest guy. Where everyone's like, hey, man, I got this new logo. You should put it on a sticker. Okay. You know. And hey, like Dan said, it's SFB season, man. So fingers crossed we start making the SFB 12 stuff real soon. And every penny of whatever you buy goes straight to charity. No money brought in. It all just goes right to Fantasy Cares. So get some awesome stuff. Give some awesome stuff. That's what it's all about. And there's nothing else for me to say. I'm not even going to think that there's something else for me to say because I always think there is and there never is. Oh, man, I need to stop talking. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Whew. Those cultists.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, Daddy's the best. See ya.